Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Time from, postcards from the shed. It's Therese. How's it going there, Therese? Are you well?
Hallelujah from the shed was what I was going to start with.
So, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing grand. How's your corona clear out coming along?
It's doing very, very well. Now, I have to say, the real problem with the lad now who has spent 30 years in music is that when you start doing clear outs, there's bits of gear. There's people around. There's stuff actually in the hall that I can't bring anywhere, but they're like the size of, you know, like a small car. and the kids are looking at me going, what was this ever for? You know, and you're going, well, this has been, now in the days before digital, children, everything was analog and it was huge, and that's the way it is. So anyway, there's a lot of old, strange mechanical pieces of kit from old studios from the 1980s that are finally being gotten rid of. Kind of sad about it, but there you go. You know, as I was saying, being a bit of a squirrel, I'm seeing the thing and I'm remembering the memories, and you know yourself. All the rest. Yeah. How about yourself?
My question this week is, what do I do with tape cassettes? I still have a tape cassette player.
Oh, yeah.
And I had 21 years of pocket diaries, and someone who's listening to this radio show put their birthday date in my 2020 and in my 2015 diary, and I obviously did nothing. So this is the year. He knows who he is. I'll send the card.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I just say to you, by the way, you go into any white goods store now, I was going to name a couple but I'm not going to, but I think they're in most of them, and you go and you can find what we used to call a music centre. You can find plenty of them, you know, that have cassette tapes and CD players and, you know, and inputs for, you know, your phone, you know, USB drive, mm-hmm. whatever it may happen to be. And, you know, particularly because I absolutely have stuff on cassette that I am never, ever going to get, like including demo tapes, stuff that never were, you know, put on anything other than cassette. And I want to keep them. Mm-hmm. And you can. You absolutely can. And just, and I actually still have a lovely cassette player that I held on to, which is still as good as it ever was, and you know, can still use. But mm-hmm. if you have, say for instance, somewhere in the attic, you have a box of 200 cassettes. Don't throw them away. Get yourself a new cassette player because it's still great music, right?
Absolutely, and it'll bring back memories. All those recordings you did on a Sunday at Top of the Pops or something.
That's right.
You know, and you laugh out loud at what you listened to and loved when you were 16.
Absolutely. Lovely, lovely. So anyway, one of the things you're talking about, you know, for the next bit is about compiling lists. So could you just explain to me about the two lists?
A DC list and an AC list.
Okay.
Well, it's not an AC, DC. It's a DC and an AC list. DC, things to do during the corona lockdown.
Okay.
Now the lockdown might be easing a bit, hopefully, but there's still some time left. And there's a couple of things you've always wanted to do. And during the coffee break this morning, write them down and see how you can fit them in these last few days of peace and quiet at home. So the DC list is things to do during the coronavirus.
Very good.
But the AC list is an important one. This is a list of all the things you need to do when this is all over. And it means the dental appointments rescheduled, if it needs to get things repaired or replaced when the lockdown is over, list them all and do that one and keep it as a running list somewhere where you can see it. And stick in some nice things and treats for yourself while you're at it. And maybe the first stop on those on your way out, maybe to your local chapel or prayer house, just to give thanks for out.
Amen. Amen. And it's funny too, I think you're right too, the idea of actually starting to begin to think about what happens afterwards is good in terms of, even just in terms of our hoping, in terms of our vision for the future, mm-hmm. in terms of keeping the head up, isn't it?
Absolutely. These are the Alleluia days, and we believe, and there are things we have to look forward and look at the positive and get everyone engaged in that as well.
Check your freezer.
You might have been stockpiling a month ago. Well, I was sticking things in there a month ago.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time for a clearance and a refill or a recycle.
Yeah.
You know, get those things out that you thought when you had that fearsome night's shopping one Thursday night a month ago.
That's right. You're absolutely right, because early March, remember when everybody went out and bought everything because they thought the lockdown was going to mean that you were going to have to stop. And actually, it does no harm, because sometimes you think, I wonder how many dinners I have. Mm-hmm. In because the freezer is a great thing for going, actually there's three chops there, which I was probably unlikely to make, but I could actually develop that into an idea for a meal.
Absolutely, and get creative. I mean, I was clearing out the fruit bowl yesterday and I made a crumble out of raspberries that I'd frozen in the freezer. They were getting a bit tired looking.
Brilliant.
That odd dodgy apple, that mandarin that's got a little bit wrinkled.
Great.
And I invented this crumble and now I have another portion I can have with yogurt for breakfast.
Brilliant. So I'm intrigued. So there was an apple in it, there was an orange, a mandarin orange in it, and there was raspberries in it.
And there was raspberries in it, and I squeezed the mandarin orange juice to make my juice.
Fantastic.
Tiny wee bit of sugar, two sweet apples. I made crumble with loads of porridge meal in it.
Lovely.
And so,
love that.
So I now almost have a granola fruity thing for what I'm going to eat with yogurt for the second to use it up.
Absolutely. That sounds lovely now. Really good.
So
what websites are we looking at this week, Trace?
Brilliant websites out there all over the place offering loads of free things. And it's your chance maybe to get into art galleries or theatres, just to have a peep at them and get out again.
Lovely.
Or it might be a chance to go in and look at Metro Opera. They're on nightly streams, the NY Metro offering them.
Yeah.
MetroOpera.org, Berliner Philharmoniker, that's a great word this hour of the morning.
Brilliant.
Are doing DigitalConcertHall.org, they're showing and streaming live concerts. Maybe a chance to introduce the children to other kinds of music, just for a few minutes, you can nip in and nip out. But there are other things. Homeschoolpiano.com offering free piano lessons till September.
Amazing. Wow.
Gibson and Fender offering free guitar lessons via their apps. I wonder what they'd give you a free guitar.
No, there'd be something, yeah. Be lovely now. A lovely Gibson, Les Paul and Fender. Yeah, be lovely. Exactly. Stratocaster. Yeah, a couple of grand's worth of guitar there. No problem.
Yeah, that's not over. Codecademy, not Code Academy, Codecademy.
Okay.
10,000 free scholarships to second and third level students for the remainder of academic year.
Well,
that would be useful for that teenager you need to keep busy.
Yes, absolutely.
Likewise, irevise.com/.ie.
Yeah.
Have premium membership free for a month.
So tell me what that is. What is iRevise? Is it a revision?
It's an app. It's a system for helping students revise for their Leaving Cert.
Leaving Cert. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. And that's premium membership free for a month. That's amazing.
And Folans.ie have free access to digital materials. But the big tip on this, if you decide to opt for a free trial on any of these things that involves you entering your card details, please, please set a reminder somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere
that's
on
right.
Your phone, on the wall or something to cancel it before the trial expires.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I have my iCal on my iPhone, the calendar. There's literally, you know, kind of little alerts all the way through going, your X subscription is just about to run out, you know, 5 days or 6 days beforehand, because actually if you even try and do it in the last 24 hours, sometimes they'll tell you that you can't, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll actually go, oh no, you're within 24 hours we can't make that happen, so you really have to give it a few days. And you know, that can be a bit tricky, you know. I sometimes it's a bit cheeky, I have to say, because I mean, to me, if there was you know, you should be able to go to, if they say we give you a month, it should be a month anyway. Sorry,
right.
Don't get me started. Six things to avoid when spring cleaning.
Okay, we've all this loads of time and I've given you loads of prompts and things to do over the past few weeks, but I forgot to give the warnings. Particularly if people are outside in the garden and they're having a battle with that big weed or a bush, you can hurt yourself.
Yes, you absolutely can.
So please be careful when you're moving the heavy furniture. That's the most common cause of back injuries, and moving those beds and sofas and things. Do some stretching beforehand. Bend the knees and use the proper techniques and get help. There's plenty of hands around to help you.
Yeah.
Climbing the ladders, and it doesn't have to be a tall ladder when you're cleaning the gutters. It can be that small little steps that cling in the top of something else, and you can easily just lose your balance coming down. So make sure there's someone there with you, or there's someone about when you're using those kind of things, ladders, steps, anything, when you're doing any kind of planning, particularly if you're shoving things up in the attic or up into the top of the wardrobe. Just get help, be careful.
Yeah, you know, that is a really tricky one, and it's because it's the kind of thing it'll only take me a second.
Mm-hmm.
And because it only takes a second, people think it's less dangerous, but it's not. You know, so you really do need to go. Just. I know it might wound your pride, but ask somebody to just hold the ladder still for you, because there's nothing worse than sending, you know, half into the attic with your legs dangling in midair, going, I do not want to jump from here because the ladder's after falling away. It's a bad look.
Yeah, I'm having a vision. It's a bad one. skipping protective gear everyone's doing all these deep cleans and they're really going to get into that corner, that oven. But please be careful. You wear the gloves. If you're using the chemicals or you're doing the weed killer, you cover your nose and mouth, or even a bandana, which is popular these days. But please be careful. And sometimes sprays can affect your eyes as well. So you might need the goggles, and you don't need those kind of things.
You've just reminded me, actually, and I'm really delighted that you did. Just talking to a healthcare worker yesterday, and she's saying that actually there's a real danger of overdoing the bleach. That everyone's going mad on the bleach at the moment, and fair enough, it does kill the virus and it's great, but you forget that if you're asthmatic, that bleach can have, you know, there's like fumes coming off the bleach at times, and it can get in to your chest and do damage, so be very careful too.
And it leads right on to the next important point. You do not mix certain chemicals, because the fumes can cause headaches, eye irritation, and some of the fragrance cleaners you use can, as you say, cause respiratory conditions. You know this, the asthma, the allergies.
Yes, absolutely.
So have the windows open. If you're doing any of that kind of deep clean, don't mix your chemicals.
I was amazed how many people, and this is like people, I was just chatting the other day to a bunch of people, and they were just, it was the most normal thing in the world that they would mix bleach with washing powder or bleach with washing up liquid. And it's like, for heaven's sake, you know, it's like bleach would nuke anything for a start, but it's also that idea that somehow they're getting extra power if you put the two things together or something.
No.
And it's
be so careful and dilute it, and mind your clothes as well. Don't get the splashes on the clothes.
Yeah.
And the last thing is something we've never ever talked about, but these are strange times. Clinging outside in your shed, maybe you've finished the house and you want to get outside, and there's animal droppings, the mice, the things that are wandering around, but they harbour roundworm larvae and viruses themselves, and you need to be careful when you're clinging outside as much as inside. You wear the gloves, you wear the masks, and this is the one area you can use the diluted bleach, one bleach to 10 parts water, to clean up the area afterwards, and then get some paper towels or newspapers and use the picker-uppers and use the gloves. Just be careful about animal waste outside.
Absolutely. That's really, really very, very good warnings there in terms of watching yourself when you're getting into your spring cleaning. Trace, lovely to speak to you. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Till then, bye-bye. Spirit.
The COVID-19 crisis has led to widespread dental practice closures, with dentistry in Ireland being one of the first services required to shut their doors when pandemic arrived to these shores. So how can we best manage to look after our teeth at home, and what tooth care precautions should we be taking? On the line to tell us more, we have Dr. Gary Heavey of Sandy Cove Dental Care in Dublin. You're very welcome to the show, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Roland. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, first of all, Gary, can you chat to us about why dentists were one of the first services to close due to COVID-19 precautions?
Well, I suppose, Roland, when you think of it, you go to the dentist. If the dentist needs to do anything for you, he's going to be operating, and his dental assistant are going to be operating very close to your mouth.
Absolutely.
So very close to where you're going to produce droplet infection.
Sure.
So, and then, of course, if we use any of our dental instruments, particularly the drills, that creates an aerosol which gets around the room, which is very difficult to control. So in order to prevent the transmission of the virus, it was deemed appropriate, in order to protect both the dentist, the dental staff, and the patient, that dentistry should really limit itself to treating acute emergencies at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, in Scotland, England, and Wales, what happened was, recognizing that general dental practices weren't going to be able to provide anything except, you know, basic emergency services, they set up emergency centres that people could be referred to. We haven't quite got that yet. I know the HSE are making great efforts, and in some areas do have emergency centres.
And do you think we should? Do you think it's a good idea, basically, to do something like that?
An excellent idea. The problem for us, Roland, is that at the moment, the only people who have access to those centres are medical card patients, children under 16, and people with special needs.
Yeah.
And we actually need centres that will be available to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm imagining now. I might be wrong about this, but I'm imagining that the majority of people are not necessarily medical card patients, the majority of people who need work done on their teeth might be just the general population.
I couldn't give you the exact statistics, Ronan, but certainly a very significant number of adults in this country don't have medical cards.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there are a lot of people out there who are being managed with pain control, you know, with pain medication and antibiotics, and really at this stage they need to be seen.
Absolutely.
But it's really the Department of Health's call here, you know, that there's certainly lots of dentists who would be happy to work in emergency centres,
yeah,
because at least we'll get the appropriate personal protective equipment that's
exactly
needed to operate safely.
Yeah. Like, this is one of the things, like, just on a purely personal level, Gary, would you be nervous?
Yeah, I would. Well, I suppose partly, Ronan, because I'm over 60,
right,
so I'm sort of a higher risk category anyway.
Yeah,
but the main reason I'd be nervous, I mean, every dentist wants to treat their patients. I've been in practice in Sandyco for over 30 years, so I know the people who are ringing up in trouble. But we've got to protect not only the patients, because we've got to assume potentially everybody who comes in could be a carrier. They mightn't even know they're a carrier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we have to protect the patients, we've got to protect our nurses, our reception staff,
yeah,
and the next patient who comes in.
Yeah, it's funny, it's when you paint a very powerful picture, though, when you talk about the droplet element, and then you talk about which obviously is, you know, that's everywhere, but that specific thing about the aerosol that's created when you use the drill, and that's out into the air and it's everywhere, isn't it?
It is. Now, for instance, one of the things that we've done, we've ordered some operating theatre standard machines to put in all our surgeries, which will clean the air. It'll run the air through about 8 times an hour.
Gosh.
So that'll give us some control over the aerosol. And there's a lot of work being done. I mean, the dental chat lines are humming among dentists, trying to source equipment which will allow us to make the surgeries safe for patients and for our teams.
Sure.
But as you can imagine, you know, it's going to take... We put an order in last week. We won't get the first 4 of these until the end of next week. So there's a lag before you can operate safely.
Yeah.
But certainly the determination of the dentists is to get back to work, but to get back to work in a safe environment for everybody.
Do you think that you may be one of the last services to be able to reopen whenever the lockdown is lifted, or do you think this idea of a kind of a slightly reinforced emergency service might come to pass?
Well, hopefully emergency centres will become available. I think in terms of dental practice, we're going to have to change the way we practice considerably. I mean, we've been in our practice, we have 4 dentists, and we were discussing how we would do it. And I mean, initially when we go back, it'll be 1 patient an hour, probably.
Sure.
We'll be fully gowned up, as you would see in an operating theatre, which of course, that's strange for us and it's strange for our patients.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of changes going to be required, Ronan, but the bottom line is that when we go back, we need to go back with protocols that make it as safe as we can make it for everybody concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about something as simple as, you know, a waiting room where everyone's used to being rammed in, you know, and it's like,
right,
you might have to just, you know, even have people call people in their cars or something. I don't know what you would do there, but it's everything changes.
I'll tell you, you're ahead of the curve there, because that's exactly what we are doing.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you give patients an appointment. They turn up at the door. They're greeted at the door. They have to do some hand sanitizing. We've been taking their temperatures, but we try and keep people out of the waiting room.
Yeah.
And in the waiting room, you need 2 meter distance between everybody.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one of our plans is that when we go back, we'll have one of these air machines in the waiting room. So we're going to be changing the air in there as well.
Yeah,
but,
very good.
Yeah, I mean, one of the difficulties here is, you know, again, dentists get to know their patients really well over the years. And
course,
we're used to seeing families. I mean, I'm now treating sort of the grandchildren of people I saw 30 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
But we're not going to be... I don't foresee us being able to see sort of mum and 4 kids.
Yeah.
It's going to be mum and maybe 1 child, and then the other child comes up from the car, out of the car.
Absolutely,
and that presents, you know, great difficulties for the mums and dads. So it is going to change. I think our first priority has to be to get back to treat those people who are being currently managed by medication. And hopefully we'll get some direction from the Department of Health, the Dental Council, as to what the appropriate level of protection protection is, because that's evolving all the time. I mean, they're in a very difficult position as well, because what's been recommended now would be different from what was recommended 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because we know more now.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah. Can I ask you as well, like, just what's the situation? I'm thinking about your own dental practice, right? Now, not right. somebody who is necessarily on a medical card, but just somebody, one of your own people, and you know, they've been kind of emailing you or texting you or whatever, going, and you know they're in trouble and they do need some emergency treatment. Where do they go?
Well, what we've been doing at the moment is we still have our reception staff in the practice every day, so they take phone calls.
Okay.
And patient will ring in. If they feel they have an acute emergency, we'll ring them back. Now, my dental nurse is very experienced. I mean, she will then talk the patient through the problem they have. If they need to speak to one of the dentists, we'll call them back. But really, Roland, what we're doing at the moment is we're prescribing painkillers, we're prescribing antibiotics. If it's a really acute emergency where you have swelling and a real threat to the patient's health, we're looking to send them into the dental hospital.
Okay.
But the dental hospital is overrun itself.
I can just imagine, yeah.
You know, so it is very unsatisfactory, and we really do need emergency centres where people who are in considerable discomfort can be sent and treated safely.
So you really need the Department of Health to really get moving on this?
We do, and I think at the moment, to restrict the emergency centres run by the HSC to medical card holders only, I think that is, considering, you know, it's the taxpayers who fund the HSC, I think at a time like this, where private hospitals can be taken over, that it's time to sort of say, look, anybody who needs emergency dental care has access to it, because we're now, you know, we've been closed since the 16th of March. That's a long time.
Yeah, sure is.
Now, hopefully, we'll be able to get back in our practices as we'll be able to source the appropriate equipment. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be getting back into our practices in the next few weeks, but nobody knows for sure, Roland.
Yeah. It's funny, it's one of those things that, you know, everyone's thinking about. Look, if you have a heart attack or if you have a stroke, but people forget that if you have, like, an abscess on your tooth, that's very, very serious as well, and it all needs to be looked after, doesn't it?
It does.
So any final advice on how we can mind our teeth over the coming weeks at home?
Well, the thing is now, when we're in lockdown, yeah, a lot of us are indulging in a lot of comfort food,
sure,
a lot of comfort eating,
Roland. You bet, man.
And,
yeah,
you know, particularly if you've got kids to control, yeah, maybe we're going to be giving them more sweets, more sugary snacks, that sort of thing. So we've got to just be careful about what we're eating. We don't want to be giving our kids too much sugar. Everybody needs to be cleaning their teeth as regularly as they always would. The basic precautions that everybody intuitively knows about. But I think what can cause us trouble in this over an extended period of time, particularly with kids off school, is, you know, the sweet, sugary snacks, the treats.
Yeah.
We don't have the hours, you know, the defined hours of the school day. So we just got to watch that the volume of stuff that our kids might be getting.
Got to be really careful around that. A little text in, Ronan, compliments to the dentist. Can I have some of what he's on? He sounds like he's in his 20s. Eric and Kenny. I thought the same myself.
Yeah, good job. This is TV, Ronan.
Dr. Gary Heavey of Sandy Cove Dental Care in Dublin, thank you so much for talking to us today. God bless you, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye now, Ronan.
Spirit. Our next guest is a UK-based children's worship leader, songwriter and producer. He's also founder of the All Stars Kids Club, which is an online resource for parents and their children to grow in their faith together, and includes worship music, a TV channel and host further activities for all the family. And on the line to tell us more, we have Simon Parry from allstarskidsclub.com. You're very welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, Simon, can you tell us a little bit more about what the All Stars Kids Club is about and how it started?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2009, I've been a kids pastor nearly 20 years. And 2009, there were lots of changes in the music industry and with kids worship. So we felt God just prompted us to create a brand or kind of a label, I guess, of some kind to release children's worship. So we did that, and then over the years that grew. When TBN launched in the UK, they were looking for kids' content, so we were like, well, how hard can it be to make kids' TV?
Sure.
So we started making kids' TV, and then we produced kids' magazines, and it's just grown over the years. But it came from, I mean, I guess the DNA is children's worship. That's my heart. That's been my heart for many years, is to have worship available for kids. Not just watered down adult songs, but actually songs written for
children.
Very
good, yeah.
So that's kind of the DNA of All Stars.
Because obviously the psychology of the children is different. Their approach to God is different. So their worship should be different.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, there are words in adult songs that don't make sense to kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
And also, you know, kids deserve the best as much as the adults do. And that's been, yeah. You know, a frustration as much as a challenge over the years of, like, how do you invest in kids' content and kids' music and you know, lyrics and melodies that they can love and own and able to sing, you know, with their understanding of the language or wherever they are with their faith and stuff. So, yeah.
And of course, Simon, you have that wonderful thing that you are planting stuff that lasts their entire lifetime, that they actually, you know, like bits of truth that got lodged in their brains from a young age, that they can, even if they drift far, they can be reignited at any moment through their lives. You know, words and music that you have written, and it's a really powerful thought.
Absolutely, it is. And you know, and I'm a father of three kids, and, you know, the stuff that my kids remember from kids' TV, you know, years
exactly.
ago, and the stuff does stick. And if we can implant, you know, truth and, you know, God bits in our life at an early age, then that's going to last a lifetime.
Can I ask you, because, you know, a lot of experience in the years in secular TV as well myself, but the transition going from what was effectively radio and then having to really kind of, you know, scale it up for TV. How did that transition work for you? Was it daunting? Was it challenging? How did it go?
Was it challenging? It was hugely challenging, you know, because, it was. I mean, over the years as a kids part, I'd done lots of stuff, you know, I was doing lots of albums with different ministries and labels, and so, you know, involved in media stuff and seeing different things created. But when it's like, okay, now let's have a go at doing this, I mean, the great thing was, for the first project, it was with TBN in the UK, so they had studios and equipment we could go straight into and use. And the whole process of, you know, writing, storyboarding, editing, it's huge for the hours you need to deliver a 3-minute video, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's very different than music and stuff, but it was a huge transition. But you know, we learned a lot on the way, lots of mistakes. But we've come out the other end, and we've learned a lot. I'm grateful to God for the experience and people that have supported us and
would you say
helped us along the way.
And would you say, Simon, that the heart of what you do is still focused around the worship?
Absolutely. I mean, if we had to strip everything back to one thing, it would be children's worship. I mean, as a kid songwriter, you know, from the age of 14, I felt the call to write kids songs, worship with kids. And at 19, I was involved with the Great Big God albums way back, back in the day. My heart, it has very much been, I want to see kids, able to worship God through music. And also kids come to know the Lord through music, because that's also, you know, that happens, and to see
it
God
absolutely
do stuff
does.
Through the kids through music. So,
Certainly how it happened for me, that's for sure. You know, powerful work, right. Powerful work. So chat to us about the online resources that are available.
So we've had a website for many years, just with kind of stuff available to download for free. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, I felt, it drives my wife nuts, because I come home some days and I'm like, Sarah, guess what? She's like, now what? Now what did you call God to say?
Yeah.
And I just felt God pull my heart to have kind of like a Netflix-style thing, but just completely faith-filled for kids. And of course, you know, it's one thing making some videos, but actually streaming them and hosting them and having a platform
is
a whole other level of crazy. And so just years and years, we're just praying into it and pushing doors and having conversations. And then late last year, just felt God say, okay, now go for it. And we're like, God, we have no funds. We live by faith as a family. We run All Stars by faith. How are they going to afford to set up a whole platform, you know,
children's content? Netflix for Jesus. Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, and the conversations I had with people that do that, yeah, if you've got a budget of several million, we can help you. And I'm like, wow, I could do a couple of £100 maybe. But anyway, so a long story short is we pushed the door, stepped down faith, found a company in the US that built platforms. And anyway, God did his thing and covered some costs. And And then in the new year, we launched our app, which is All Stars Kids Club Go, which is an app on Apple TV and Roku and all your devices, and you can do it on the website. Of course, not knowing that a few months later, everything would be on lockdown.
Yeah,
and people are needing content. So somehow, in God's big picture and his big plan, the timing was perfect to have this resource. So it's a resource that's completely free. There are no adverts. There's no cost. You sign up for free, and then you can access it on all the different devices. And it's just hours and hours and hours of content from all over the world, from different ministries. We've got stuff there from Elevation, stuff from Bethel. We've got stuff from churches you never heard of. We've got music from Yancey, Jumpstart 3, Seed Family Worship. I mean, and there's lots of stuff that we're creating in the UK, which is also, you know, for me, important because there's not enough.
So can I just can I ask you, Simon, if the All Stars Kids Club Go is available on the in the Irish App Store, because that would not be the same as the UK App Store.
The app is available globally. There are no restrictions on anything, so it should be completely available on all your app stores.
Great, super. Yeah. Just wanted to check that.
Yeah.
So listen, I've got.
And if you'll let me know, and obviously I'll find out.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I will do that. Just to be sure.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got a track. We've got Hope ready to play here. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah. So we started this crazy challenge of writing a new song every week and putting it on a Friday.
Good on you.
hey, well, we're all stuck at home, so let's do it. And we've had to move our studio into our house and all that kind of stuff, so, you know, makes things interesting. And this song, on the Monday morning, I just felt like, okay, we need to write a song about hope this week. So along with my wife and a friend, we penciled it together, got some contacts in the US who sing and some guitarists, and basically by the Wednesday, we recorded this track, sent it off to a guy in Nashville, mastered it, got it back Thursday night, uploaded it, and it released on Friday. So it was quite an epic week, as well as doing everything else we're doing. And then we also asked children from around the world to send in their voices on their iPhones and, you know, stuff to sing along. So there's a choir, a couple of hundred kids on here from all over the world singing the chorus.
Wow.
And it was just super fun because, like, you know, we can do this. Technology is amazing. And the fact that we can work with all these people around the world within hours and deliver something on iTunes
within
hours.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But, like,
wonderful.
And the response we had that weekend was incredible. The churches that were using it, and it just felt a song for a season. So that was how Hope was birthed, and it's super fun. And it's also, it's on all the music platforms, but it's completely free to download on the website, and we'd love church to use it and use the video on the online stuff they do, and just to bless kids' ministries and bless the church. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So allstarskidsclub.com is the website. You can find out all further details. Simon Parry from allstarskidsclub.com, thank you so much for talking to us today. God bless you.
Thanks so much for having me. Bless you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. And here it is. Hope from allstarskidsclub.com.
When the world is hurting, life is so confusing. I am sure of one thing, God's by my side, yeah. When I'm feeling lonely and I start to worry.
Spirit.
Open Arms Church has put on its websites a number of encouraging Bible verses that are relevant to the current crisis, and this is one of them. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing, isn't it? On the line to tell us more about how Open Arms Church in Kildare and South Dublin are responding to the current crisis, we have Pastor Sean Booth. You're very welcome to the show, Sean. How are you, man?
Thank you so much, Ronan. Doing great, thank you.
Yeah, so first of all, Sean, can you tell us briefly about your church and the people who go to it?
Yes, so Open Arms Church, we've got two locations. Our first one, original location, is in Newbridge in County Kildare, in my hometown. And then with myself and my wife, we planted a church here in South Dublin, just over 2 years ago. So it's We've got our 20 years in Newbridge, and we're just over 2 years in South Dublin.
Yeah, and by all accounts, Sean, it sounds like it's flying there in South Dublin.
Yeah, you know, it's been going great, and we just love getting to know people and gathering people together, and we've just been blessed in seeing so many open doors and people come and be a part of our church, and yeah, we're just loving it at the moment.
So how have the government restrictions, you know, for the COVID-19 virus affected your church life?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously like everyone else, we can't gather together publicly or in groups. So what we've done is we've gone straight away online, and we would have, I think, had quite a good online strategy even before this. And so we've never done online church before, never even experimented with it. And so we've just gone all online, had our services, 3 services every Sunday, 11, 12, 30, and 8. And just trying to, you know, as you just read that scripture at the beginning, just encourage people, just speak into their lives, and ultimately from the Word of God, which we believe is the most life-giving word that we can ever receive. And so we're also just trying to connect individually with our congregation and just keeping, you know, on the pulse of how people are doing. And our ultimate goal as a church is to help people and to love people. So from prayer to financial support, but also then physical support in terms of just caring for people, you know, whether it's medical needs or whether it's just as simple as delivering someone's food. So that's some of the ways that we've just been reaching out to our people.
And like, how did it go? Were you surprised at the response? How has it been for you?
Yeah, like completely blown away, to be honest with you. You know yourself, like everyone else, you're feeling anxious. How is this going to work? How long is this going to be?
Sorry.
And we've really enjoyed, I guess, the engagement that we're receiving online, and, you know, being able to continue church outside the walls of a building. And I think it's really helped us in terms of looking at the church. And also, as well, as you know, Ronan, many people, when they hear the word church in Ireland, they think of a particular style building, a particular style service.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And now here we have, without anyone walking through the doors of the church, we're saying, this is what church looks like for us, and this is what church can be. Ultimately, all about Jesus and connecting people to Jesus and to one another. So we've seen it as a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, really, isn't it? The feeling that people can... I don't mean an anonymity, but it's not quite as heavy as having to walk through doors, that you can click into something. You know what I mean? You can kind of take part in something without it being quite so heavy as in, you know, having to kind of present yourself. Now, it's not to say that there's really good, there's very good psychology in going through the doors of a place, but actually this is kind of like a step further out. It gives you an option to kind of dip your toe in, kind of, and just see what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for us, we would say, when you're coming to attend Open Arms, you're not committing, you know, to sign your life away.
Sure.
Or you to join or become some kind of a member, but you can come and you can receive and you can take your time, and just ultimately, you know, we want to just bless people and encourage people. So whether people watch it anonymously and continue on that way, you know, that's why we are Open Arms, is because we want to be open to everyone, regardless what's going on in their life or regardless of how much they want to, you know, kind of connect into our community.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at your website. I really liked the bit where you had our part, your part, and God's part. Could you explain that to the listeners?
Yeah. So, you know, we just see it as you know, we've our part together as a community and what God has called us to do. But we believe that the church is as a whole, as a community, but also as individuals. So one of the key values of our church is that, you know, the church is not about a building, it's about its people.
Sure.
And it's not about a leader. It's not about, say, the few pastors that we have in our church. We can be the church in our community and play our part in our community by loving our neighbors, by, you know, rather than just looking to the church to solve the problems, that we, the people, stand up and say, you know, we are the church and we're going to be here, even if it's one-on-one, even if it's individually. And then God's part in that, we believe that we're co-laborers with God. It's both and, us and God together. And, you know, one of the mantras that we would say is, I will do all that I can do, and then God can do only what he can do. And I think in this time, it's just trusting in that I'll continue to be faithful. I'll continue to, you know, steward what God has given me. But at the same time, believing and trusting that God will provide, that he will make a way. And COVID-19 in this season, it's been, you know, something that has completely shocked our lives and our world. But you know what? This season will pass and God will bring us into a new season. and trusting and believing that I will continue being faithful as God is faithful to me.
Yeah, lovely. You're encouraging me already. So any final thoughts, Sean, about our word of encouragement about what's going on at the moment, and just, you know, the mic's yours, just off you go.
Yeah, you know, for me, the biggest thing is that this season has to cause us to rethink our values. Even myself personally, I've got three little boys. I've got my young marriage as well, and I found myself in recent months, if not even recent years, getting so overwhelmed with busyness and stress, and just keep going. But it's not until you stop and you pause and you begin just to question, why am I continuously in this cycle of feeling just so busy and so overwhelmed? And I think this season has to cause each one of us, especially as an Irish people, to go, you know, what is our value? You know, community has always been a value of Irish people. You know, friendships and bonding and being with one another. Have we got so caught up in work that we've forgotten how to live? And I just think that this is a time for us to kind of come back. For us as a church, we see our part in this is that, you know, God can be a part of your life. Religion does not need to be a part of your life. And it's coming back to key spiritual principles of prayer, of worship, of just spending time with God. And I believe that through that, we can receive rest and peace, even in the middle of this crisis and this storm. So, yeah, just to really encourage people, just to rethink our values. So let's enter into this next season and be prepared to just kind of grasp what God has given us and to step into where he's called us to.
Absolutely. Sean Booth, pastor at Open Arms Church in Kildare and South Dublin, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Ronan.
This
really
morning.
Appreciate it.
God bless you, man. And, yeah, just to say that you can check out further from them by going online and checking out the Open Arms Church online there too as well.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.